Listen. If you wanna be the best, you got to move and motivate.
Premier podcast on selling and personal development. I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling and Sales Manifesto.
That's right. And we are glad you're here today for Motivation Monday.
So it's time to get people motivated. That's what it says right here in my notes.
I'm like, wow, that sounds scripted.
Okay, so I'm going to give you my instructions. Let's put away all distractions. I love that.
No, that's our instructions.
I know,
that's so that we're not on our phones.
How many times does your phone go off when you're in the middle of a sales call, you jackass?
Yeah, not cool, guys.
Exactly.
Not cool.
Totally not cool.
Can you guys tell that our camera is different? I'm just curious. For those of you diehards who do watch us every week, we have a new setup, so I'm just curious if it looks different to you.
I can't tell shit. But anyway. I'm in the studio. We have all kinds of views that Nada can just touch the little buttons there, right? And you can get another view. I love that.
That's pretty cool.
You can see us from outside the studio. You can see how the whole thing looks, not just the inside of the... We can actually go behind the green curtain.
Yes, for sure.
Or in this case, behind the glass window.
So I'm sure you guys are wondering what we're talking about today.
And
this is
going to
be an amazing episode. So I want to make sure you please share this with everyone you know. Put this on your feed right now. Because we're going to be talking about preparing for the presentation. Okay?
But
it's a really important topic. But before we do... Yes.
We have a question from one of our diehards, Christy. You reading it, Doug?
Oh, okay. Christy says, how do you deal with people who say they want to get comparative quotes from several places? My boss has us close the conversion with, are you ready to start today? Do you have a means for payment?
Oh, God.
That usually weeds out who's gathering quotes.
No, it's not.
And who wants to work with us? My boss gets mad if we give a quote without those qualifying questions. I'm not the biggest fan of Christy's boss.
No.
He coaches us to say, when you are ready to work with us, we are happy to provide a competitive quote. Ugh. Then find a time to follow up. Do you have any advice or an article regarding this? Whew.
First of all, I'm calling in the sales police. That is not a way to deal with a customer. A, it's condescending, and B, it will piss them off. What you need to do is say, if you find the best quote, we are the best ones, would you select us?
Right.
Okay. So
that sounds so much more friendly.
That's number one. Number two, you go to every single one of your competitors yourself, Christy, and get their pricing and put it on a spreadsheet. And say, you know, I know it takes a lot of time to do this, so I've gone to the trouble of doing all the price comparisons myself. And here's everything. We're within 2% of everybody, but we're the best.
So
these are the videos that I have to prove it. I've already filled out an order form, and all you have to do is press hard 3 copies.
To me, that would be value, okay? If I'm the customer and you come over and you say, look, I really want to work with you. I know what you're going to do. I know you're looking at price. I know that's a big factor. So I've prepared this document to outline all the different prices that you could be charged by my competitors.
Mm-hmm.
And we're basically in the range. Maybe you're not the cheapest. That's okay. But here's why you need to work with us.
Exactly. And sometimes that person on the other end of the stick is not the final decision maker anyway. So I would say, is there anyone else you work with to complete this transaction?
And I really don't like this question. Do you have a means for payment? That is very condescending, and like it made me shrill inside.
Do you accept Texaco? Can I pay in shekels?
Can I pay with my Amazon gift card.
I do have a PayPal credit.
So, no, but like, how would you like to pay is fine because that assumes that they can pay, okay, versus do you have a means for payment? No, the customer's talking to you, but they can't pay. I mean, like, that, it's just silly.
Here's the deal. When you're making a sale, you can't concentrate on money. You have to concentrate on help. If they believe that you will help them beyond what they're thinking or hoping for, they'll find a way to pay you.
Yeah, I think the problem with these questions that Christie's boss,
have your boss call in here.
Is asking.
No, have her your boss call in. That's final.
is that they're very transactional and they assume that you will never have a relationship with the customer because if the customer does buy from you, they won't like you.
Yeah, so
and
I will get your boss an autographed copy of the Little Red Book of Selling to just shut him
out. Whoa, or her.
Or
it could be a girl or a boy. We don't know.
No.
It's at him?
My boss.
Oh, okay.
No, he.
Okay. I got it. Sorry. My bad. All right.
There's too much inclusion in this world.
No. We're good with the inclusion here. So anyway, I think that Christie's boss is thinking about these as transactions rather than long-term relationships
exactly.
that could lead to repeat
exactly.
business and referrals.
Exactly. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Christie. Have your boss call.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Eldo. Hi, Wes. What's going on? Roger, the other Mike Brooks or the Mike Brooks?
Ooh.
I forget which one that is. I think that's the other Mike Brooks. I love it. Oh, cool. We're getting like whispers in our ears
from this.
Doug. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Who else is here? Hey, guys. Say hey. Let us know you're watching. Meredith, what's going on, guys?
All right. Now, main topic.
Yes.
This is a great topic today. It is all about how you get ready to make the sale, which is more important, in my opinion, than the actual presentation itself. This is when you come up with the ideas. This is when you put together the questions. This is when you have a slide or two that will confirm what you're saying is the truth. And this is where you prepare your undeniable proof.
And let me take a step back for a second. The reason we wanted to talk today about preparation is because in the past week or so, Jeffrey and I have been, maybe 2 weeks, I don't know, Jeffrey and I have been preparing for a very important presentation today.
Yes.
At 4 p.m. Eastern time today, Jeffrey and I are giving a webinar called, it's free, by the way, it's the 6.5 Winning Strategies for Sales Success. And we're going to pop a link in there in case you have not yet registered. We will have almost 3,000 people.
Whoa.
I know.
Exactly.
Almost 3,000 people who have registered to attend our 4 p.m. event, and it's going to kick ass.
We actually had to upgrade our Zoom service from 500 to 3,000 in order to be able to make this happen. And some of you may even get cut out.
If we get more, we can only have 3,000 on this webinar.
Yeah, only 3,000. Is that cool or what?
So
yes,
speaking of preparation, you guys prepared for this presentation by doing a practice run. I actually had a chance to listen to that.
That's true.
I just want to tell everyone out there, this thing rocks.
Thank you, Doug.
I've never done that before. I've never pre-done a rehearsal, but because it's Jen and I, it's not just me or it's not just Jen, we had to coordinate and get our info straight.
Okay, so secretly, I always do that.
Oh.
Because, okay, here's the deal. I don't want the customer to hear what I have to say for the very first time I'm saying it. So I'd rather hear what I've said first, refine it, so that when I go in to talk to a customer or the 3,000 of you today that will be on our 4 p.m. Eastern Time webinar, it's not our first time saying it.
Gotcha. Let me go back to a quote of mine that I think is extremely important as well as you're preparing. You may be going into this with minimal preparation because it's your 1,000th time to say the same damn thing. Keep in mind, as a potential prospect or customer, prospective customer, it's my first time to hear it. So you can't be giving me the acronyms or the three-letter blurbs that I may not understand. You have to go in as a fifth grader or a 10th grader and give me the information the same way it was the first time you heard it. And you had questions and you needed advice. I'm the customer. Let's assume that I need information from you so I can be certain that your product is the best, that your service is the best, that your proof is final proof, and you can't take anything for granted or you're going to lose.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to give you some of the behind the scenes prep work that we've been doing, because I think it could actually help you tremendously with your prep work for your clients. So after we recorded that webinar with each other last night and practiced it, obviously we spent a ton of time coming up with notes and ideas and strategies for what should be in the presentation. Mm-hmm. And we went back and forth on that a bit. And then we both had the topics, right? And then we added our own stories and that kind of thing. And then we recorded it with the slides on our computer, okay? I used QuickTime. It's really simple. It's on everyone's Mac. And if you don't have a Mac, I don't know what to tell you.
Go to the store. Right. Okay. Well, I have a Dell. It's kind of like a Mac, except it's a piece of shit.
So, okay.
People complain about their Dells all the time. They do not. Well, you know, it's our work. Right.
It's crazy. Okay, so I recorded our us giving our presentation, and then I sent it off to Rev, REV.com.
Oh, wow.
Rev is a transcription service. So we didn't have all of our words written out. It wasn't scripted whatsoever. We had ideas and stuff we wanted to talk about and points we wanted to make sure to hit, but I sent it off to Rev because they actually will transcribe it for you. And then you can not only like listen to what you said, but you can read back what you said and figure out how you want to change
or tweak,
exactly refine what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so Rev, I think, is $1 a minute. And then there's another service called Temi, T-E-M-I, and it's, I think, 10 cents a minute. And when Temi does it, it's computer generated, so it's not as accurate, but it is fast, man. Temi sent it back to us within under 10 minutes, and it was pretty accurate enough. I mean, I did it by both to compare, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So this is your challenge, sales guys. Sometimes you are preparing a one-on-one presentation. Sometimes you are preparing a group presentation. And sometimes you're preparing in front of a small selection committee.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's big group, middle group, or one group, my opinion is I prepare the same. I prepare the same proof. I prepare the same facts or questions. I might go a little bit different on the questions when it's a group setting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be reading to my daughter's fourth grade class next week. And there's a story in there that I'm going to be reading. I haven't really quite decided yet. But one of the things I'm thinking about reading is Stick and Stone.
Ooh.
And Stick and Stone is all about, obviously, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. It's about bullying. It's about sticking up for your best friends, that kind of thing. So I would walk into the audience and say, instead of just reading the book, okay, I'm going to read this book. It's by
boring.
Right, exactly. I'm going to say, how many of you have had a best friend?
Ooh.
And how many of you had a best friend and you lost your best friend? And how many of you have ever had a best friend you lost and you got them back? And how many of you have lost a best friend and you still can't find them? And so I'm ready.
Let's hope there's no fourth graders crying before the book starts.
It is what it is.
Is this about a missing persons case?
It's about the reality of these kids are facing social situations right now, and they have to understand how to talk and how to react. Now, I was lucky because when I was raising Stacey and Erica, they were twins. And I got to teach them about interacting through each other.
Mm.
And they were always prepared with, if somebody came at them and tried to separate them, they couldn't. I said, you back your sister no matter if it's right or wrong. When you come home, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
But when you're in the playground, you back your sister. Okay, so I'm ready with those questions. I'm always ready with questions. And that's where you have to...
So you're going to do this for the fourth graders, but we also did this for our presentation. I think this is what you're alluding to.
Yeah.
We came up with our own list of the questions we think you guys may ask so that we are prepared to answer your questions.
And if you don't ask them, I'm going to ask them.
That's right.
So because I want to make sure that you understand what it is that you have to be ready for, because it's not just your preparation and your slideshow. If you're rehearsing your slideshow, something is drastically wrong. You have to rehearse what you say outside of your slideshow. You have to have the ad lib and the story that goes with it and the proof that goes with it, because I guarantee you that when your marketing department puts a slideshow together, it's freaking boring. And I don't even recommend you show it.
Yeah.
But there's a way to do it. If you're preparing correctly, you send the customer your slideshow a day in advance. You may have to tweak it to make it readable and understandable, but a day in advance, and say, look, this is the boring part of my presentation. I'm coming there tomorrow and spending 1 hour talking about you, your profit, your situation, and how you can most benefit by using our product. And that's going to have their attention.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because no one does that. So we're going to go back to how to best prepare for your presentation in a minute. I just want to take a second to say hey to some of our friends here. We have Tim, Mark from Sudbury, Ontario. Hello. Ooh. Hello, Tim.
Cold
and
there.
Tom. Tim and Tom. Love our new camera angles. So way to go,
thank
Doug,
you.
On the cameras. Thank
Very
you.
Very well
you.
Done. Who
All
hung
right.
the camera? That's what I want to know. Did Nada hang the camera?
I think Doug and Nada, I don't know. I just, you know.
Doug hung the camera.
They're making improvements here all the time.
Every day it's brand
and
new.
And Doug
in the
said,
studio.
If we order these four things on Amazon, here's how it could look. And so what happened 2 days later? They arrived. Yeah, right.
By the way, I tried that trick with my wife. Never worked. Just these four things on Amazon. It'll look great. No, it doesn't work.
We'll have to talk to Katie about that.
Yeah.
So, okay, Eldo, you always bring good questions. So I am grateful that you are here on our live asking away. Thank you so much. Eldo asks, if the customer lined up four competitor presentations on the same day,
yeah.
who gets the advantage? The first presenter or the last one?
Well, I always want to be last. That's been sort of a, I think it's pretty self-evident that the salesperson would like to be most convincing last. And if I was last, I would say, I'd walk into the person, you know, they've already heard the other three guys. I say, well, who's in first place so far? Because that's the guy whose ass I want to kick.
So,
but the challenge for you as a salesperson is how are you interacting? How glib are you? How relaxed are you? How humorous are you? How ready are you? Because I will tell you that if you feel ready, you'll be able to ad lib. And if you do not feel ready, you're going to stick to the script.
Yeah. And I worked at my former job was at an educational software company where we had to do a lot of bids and proposals. And they would do this all the time where the district would line up a day of, you know, 10 competitors, not just four, like 10 competitors coming in. And oftentimes we had an advantage where we got to choose. And it was a big debate. Do we go first? Do we go in the middle? Do we go last? And my feeling is like, yes, it's great to go last. You'll stay in their mind more easily because you're last, that kind of thing. But in reality, it's all in your head. Literally, it is all in your head. So if you go third and you still believe you're going to win because you're third, you still have a shot at it. But if you walk in there and you're like, oh, crap, I'm third. I'm not last.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to totally impact the presentation you're giving.
But there's some humorous things that you can do even with your competitors. You walk out after you're done your presentation. You walk over to your competitor. You whack them on the arm. And you go, hey, buddy. You want to see something you haven't seen in a while? Here's a signed contract. Ha! And walk out of there.
Oh, my God.
And just fuck with them.
Make them feel like crap.
Oh, yeah. Put them in a position where they don't know what the hell to say.
Oh, my God.
Because if you don't get inside their head, they'll screw up big time.
Well, on another.
The guy said he had a contract already. Have you already made a decision? I drove 5 miles to get here in the traffic.
On another note. Hello to Mr. Darren K. You guys, Darren K has all my money. Like, I'm not kidding.
Cool.
Like, it's in his bank account, wherever he banks. I have no idea where he banks.
It's in the vault by the second to where dollars they can't give away.
If you guys need a banker or want to work with the most amazing banker in America, you need to contact Darren. He has just joined. Darren, Ooh. Maybe you could say hi so people can, like, get in touch with you
if
they want
to. We'll put
to.
You in the show notes.
And he didn't pay me for that, I swear.
No.
All right, so Chris Martinez is here. From Tijuana.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. I love it.
You know where Tijuana is. It's Tijuana. It's right below
San Diego. We may go there one day.
Yeah. It's right below San Diego.
Yeah. So, okay, let's go back to our topic, which is how to best prepare for your sales presentation or for any kind of presentation, whether it's a presentation that you're giving internally to your colleagues, whether it's a presentation you're giving to for a sales pitch, or even if it's a presentation. I remember making presentations growing up about why I should get things. Like, this is why I need a dog.
Right. Okay, so let me throw this at you guys. You're thinking about how long should I take to create this presentation? What's my prep time? So you pick a number, and I'm going to give you my advice. Whatever it is, double it. Whatever time you select, though, it's only going to take me about an hour. Make it 2 hours. And try to refine it to a point where you sit in the customer's chair, and how would you react to this? Is it a bunch of bullshit, or is it something that values them? So I want you to take a red pen out in your presentation notes and circle all the items that you believe helps the customer. How will they profit? How will they win? What's the outcome? And I can promise you this right now. It ain't much. You're going to give a bunch of crap about you and all about how great you are and nothing about what happens when they take ownership. It should be all about when they take ownership. It should be all about what happens after they take delivery, after they paid and the product is dropped off. And you as a salesperson should make a statement in there that says, when you take delivery, I'll be here.
And there's no magic number. A lot of people ask us, how much time should I spend preparing? If I have a 1 hour presentation that I'm giving for the first time, how much time should I spend preparing? And truly, there's no magic number. I find it's usually between 5 to 10 times the amount of the time you're giving. So if you're giving a 1 hour presentation, you're probably going to prepare or should prepare anywhere from 5 to 10 hours for that hour presentation, assuming it's a bit, it's an important presentation to you. It could have a lot of impact. I mean, if it's like a presentation that, you know, you need to just show up and give every day, you know, you might prepare 20 hours so that it's perfect. So there's no magic number, but you need to prepare until you feel 100% confident that you can go in and crush it.
And how do you do that? And the answer is you turn on your recorder, you go through the entire presentation, hitting the record button as though you were giving it with full enthusiasm. And then you listen to it. And that will coach you'll coach yourself to determine if you're any good or not. Or you can send it to Doug.
And you know what? You're going to be the hardest coach on yourself.
I don't know. Doug was pretty mean.
No, Doug's great. Doug gives us great feedback. But when you listen to yourself, when you read, you get transcribed and you read what you said,
it's hysterical.
You will be able to refine it. So the key to this is it's a multi-step process. You need to actually prepare the words that you're going to put on the page or the PowerPoint or whatever. You need to rehearse it, and then you need to watch it or listen to it or read it, and then refine it. Okay, you can't just stop at the watch, listen, read part. You need to take it a step further and refine it.
So one of the reasons that I tell you to send your slides to your customer in advance is so that you're not doing a product dump on somebody that they can Google and find out in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Your product is pretty much no different than your competitors. And if it is different, there's only one or two things that are different about it, so you can focus on that. But the bottom line is, don't give too many facts and figures. Ask more questions than you present facts and figures.
So we have a question here that is, when it comes to the amount of time given for the presentation, how many key points do you want to hit in the presentation?
Great question.
Yeah. The answer is as many proof points as you can. In other words, I don't need to know exactly how it works. I need to know what it does when I take ownership of it, and how am I going to produce more, profit more, benefit more, make everybody happy more. That's what I really want to know about the machine, because I already know what it is. I already know about the service. I already know about the product. I want to know how I'm going to benefit and how I'm going to win and how I'm going to profit from it.
For sure. And people remember stories that you tell them. So if you can leave them with 1 to 2 stories that they can walk away remembering, and not just remembering, but wanting to share with someone else, then you win.
No argument. And you can call your best customers on the phone right now and say, how have you benefited the most from this?
Yes, absolutely.
And you can create stories from customers that are happy.
So Tim Oxborough is here, and he says, greetings from Sugar Lake Lodge. We're going to be doing an event there in a couple of weeks. We haven't yet announced it.
A couple of weeks?
Maybe a month or two. It's in 2 months. Sorry. I'm really excited. I'm really, really, really excited. So it's going to be at the end of May.
The lake is still frozen.
Yeah, no. It's going to be when it's warm. I promise. I hope. Tim, promise us it's going to be warm.
Yeah, we're going to ice fish.
Yeah.
See, warm in Minnesota is like 30.
No, we're supposed to be able to play tennis and golf.
Oh, cool.
It's going to be at the end of May. It's going to be a weekend with you and me and our team. It's going to be amazing content, amazing strategies all weekend, plus fun activities.
Ready.
And yeah, and we're going to be announcing it soon. But if you're interested in attending that weekend with us, just pop in the comments that, you know, just say, put a one in the comments so we know to make sure to follow up with you personally.
And cool. Save you a sleeping bag.
Yeah, there are not that many bears there. They give you cans of bug spray, but you have to hit the mosquito with the can.
Our dogs will be there, Charlie and Zoe.
And listen, I think Minnesota gets hot in the summer
because
they get the lake effect. So it's like blazing hot in the summer and then freezing ass cold in the winter.
So Tim says it was 90 degrees last year at the same time and to listen to your fiance.
Always great advice.
Yeah.
Yes, that is. Michael says, this is Michael McClure from San Francisco. The other Michael McClure, not the beat poet. So we have the other Mike Brooks and the other Michael McClure. I love it. Welcome, guys. Thank you for being on our show.
So I have a question about, preparing for the presentation. So sometimes I prepare for a presentation and I get about halfway in and I realize something's wrong. I don't
or
know
missing. If, wrong yes, or missing?
Something's wrong or missing. Like, what should you do at that point? Should you scrap the whole thing? Or how should you proceed if you feel like something might be wrong?
Well, what do you mean? Can you elaborate on that for a second? Like, what do you mean something is wrong? It just doesn't feel right?
It does. When I go to practice the presentation, it doesn't flow well. I get scared that it's not going to hit the right marks. And I'm sure somebody out there listening has had that feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't that cool that you guys can see Doug now from the backstage?
Yeah.
I love that.
Turn around and wave to the camera.
That is so cool. Oh, it's off there now.
So here's the deal. If you get the feeling, that sinking feeling that this is not going to happen right, then you have to ask yourself, what would excite my customer? What would make my customer be blown away by this? And that might change the entire MO that you're using to make the presentation.
Shift the focus from you to the customer.
Exactly. Shift the focus or the presentation will be shift.
Yeah, and also you have to figure out... That was funny.
I got it.
Also, you have to figure out what feels wrong about it. Something is clearly not in alignment. So something that the message that you're trying to transfer is somehow not either not being transferred right or it's the wrong message. And you have to take a step back and ask yourself questions to really dig deep and figure out what's wrong, what's missing, how can you change this? How could the customer perceive it differently? You know, those kinds of things to make sure you're in total alignment.
And I think that there's one other thing that you should look at in this whole preparation process. How familiar are you and how ready are you for the questions that might be asked to you during the presentation?
Mm-hmm.
There are sales training people that I want to either hit them in the face with a shovel or kick them in the groin when they tell you that if you get a price question, avoid it.
Oh.
Like, seriously, dude?
No, then all the customer's thinking about is the price.
Or
he won't tell me the price.
Why is this guy an asshole?
Why is he not telling it to me?
Right.
The price.
So just at that point, you begin an alternate presentation that you have to be prepared for. When they ask a question, it might throw you off gear. You can say, I'm going to cover that in just a minute. I'm okay with that if it's just a minute. But if it's 5 minutes, tell me it's going to be 5 minutes. The bottom line is this. The customer has a question. It's a buying signal. You got that? They're thinking about this from the perspective of, what is in this for me? How can I take ownership? They're asking you a question. Figure out, Mr. Smart Guy, how you can answer that in a way that pleases them, not pisses them off.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely arrogant bullshit of not give your price.
Ooh, so I don't like that.
If you don't give your price, put your address in here. I'm coming to your house. Tonight, I'm taking away your television.
Oh, no. Well,
and your beer.
Hey, guys, if you're joining us late, you may have missed the beginning where we talked about why we're talking about the topic of preparation.
And it's a great topic.
Yeah, it is a great topic. But the reason we're talking about it is because Jeffrey and I just had the opportunity to prepare together for today's webinar, which you could join. There's a link in there. I think Alex pinned it to the top, so thank you for doing that, Alex. And it's all about the 6.5 winning strategies you need to have greater sales success. And it's a free webinar. There's almost 3,000 people who are signed up for the webinar, so make sure you enroll in that webinar.
Yeah, I want to see a lot of hearts.
And yeah.
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 So I've had the pleasure, the honor of witnessing both of you give presentations. And one thing I noticed from Jeffrey is that he has particular things that he likes to do before the presentation. So he always eats like strips of bacon.
Right.
And, but it's the same thing every
it's
time.
It's kosher for those of you questioning me.
Right. And I feel like it's something that helps him get in the zone right before the presentation. It's something he does every time.
And I listen to music.
And music.
And
music is
music.
Key for both of us.
I was
going to
say,
yeah.
So that was my question. Jen, yeah. What are your sort of pre-presentation must-dos?
I pump myself up by listening to music. Like, and like, you can't find me doing this because I do it in secret, but I will be in my hotel room having a solo dance party just to like get totally pumped up, sweat it out a little bit. Plus, I'm a really bad dancer, so you don't want to see me dance.
But if you do it in the window, somebody may have the presence of mind to shoot it, and then you're up for your Instagram. You go viral.
Yeah, next time.
You can get hundreds of thousands. Okay, so today our presentation for Facebook Live is about getting ready, preparation. So I played for the troops, The Temptations, mm-hmm. Getting Ready.
Yes, he did.
And everyone was singing.
We were like dancing at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, you can't help it. You have to play music from your soul, not from your iTunes.
Is that Ron Goodwin here? Ron, you didn't even say hello. What's going on?
Like, dude, where's Glenn Bill? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I don't know where he is.
Bill, if you're on there, you better show up.
Yeah, say hey. Say hey. Okay. So anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's time to go in a few minutes. You guys are interested in joining that weekend with Jen and Jeffrey, with me and Jeffrey, just put a 1 in the comments. We would love to see you there. We're going to be playing tennis. We're going to be playing golf. And we're going to be teaching a whole weekend full of strategies. It's going to be pretty incredible.
So I'm going to talk to you about this week's lineup on Sell or Die because it's one of the most incredible lineups we've ever had. Alan Stein, who used to be a coach turned motivational speaker, he's going to explain the similarities of high-performing athletes and salespeople. And I'm going to tell you, I have always maintained hire an athlete, or at least someone that loves to play ball or loves to play sports, because that person is coachable. They want to win. They have great attitudes. They're competitive. I mean, there's so many things that go along with an athlete.
They can knock down a jump shot.
Bingo.
No, in all seriousness, this was one of my favorite interviews that we have ever done.
We could tell, Doug. Doug was sitting on the edge of his seat the whole time.
No, Doug
wanting
was,
to jump in. He
Doug
was so
commented
great.
More
I
than
love
we
it.
Did.
I love it. It was phenomenal. It was a great interview.
And then on Wednesday, we have an update from the great Jason Dorsey. He is going to just give us some more generational things. He's from the Center for Generational Kinetics, and he's going to be giving us insight into the buying patterns of millennials.
And you heard Jason on the show last week, and he's back again with more. The episode was, he gave us so much amazing information that Nada had to do the hard task of cutting it into 2 episodes.
Yeah, it's super cool. So the full episode, which you should definitely go back and listen to, really focused on managing millennials and the Gen Z group that's coming up. And this episode is going to focus on the buying pattern. So the customers that you have that are millennials or Gen Z, how do you connect with them?
Then on Thursday, we have Steve Woodruff from Clear Consulting. He's the CEO and founder. And he's going to reveal how to find your sales superpower.
I would tell you mine, but then I'd ruin the show. You have to listen to it to figure it out.
Yeah, I tell you mine, but I have to take my clothes off. I think what we have to look at here is you, the audience, you, the great diehards. What do you think your superpower is?
Yes.
And have it ready on a piece of paper so that when you listen to this episode on Thursday, you'll be able to see what elements go into a superpower. Because you may have a superpower of presentations, which is what we've been talking about all day.
Yeah, today. And I want to know your superpower. So make sure you share that superpower with us in the Seller Diehard official Facebook group.
Aha.
Yes, but Tomas says, greetings from Poland. Well, hey.
Ooh.
And Tim says, Jason's...
Wait, Tomas, does it end in a Z?
Yes.
I may know that guy.
Do you know Jeffrey?
Yeah. Tomas, let me know if you're the real Tomas.
Okay. Will the real Tomas please stand up?
Exactly.
All right. Tim says, Jason's episode was awesome. Tim, Jason's episode was seriously one of my favorite episodes of all Seller Die time.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Now, if you have missed some things, you tune in on Friday, because Friday we have the best of. And we edit this thing with a fine tooth comb. The great Nada Edwards, he knows exactly what the hell he's doing. And he takes those nuggets, those chunks, those little bites that will come out and,
hell yeah,
and help you.
Brian Kelm, what's up? Bo, nice to see you. Tomas says he read your book. And that is awesome. And guys, we're going to go now, but we will see you later today at 4 p.m. Eastern time on the free webinar, 6.5 Strategies to Making More Sales.
My name is Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm reminding you to get out there and prepare to sell something, even if your ass falls off.